Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here live on the air right now. Let's talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The number is 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait. Call right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And that basic gospel really hinges around the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. He died. He was buried. The third day he was raised back to life. And that is the heart and soul of this good news, that Jesus Christ is alive today. And because of that, he has something to say to you. He wants to speak truth into your situation, truth that will set you free. You know, we all experience some sort of bondage. I don't know of anyone here on planet Earth that is experiencing freedom to its fullest extent. Why? Because there's so many roadblocks and obstacles and things that hang on to us and that we allow to hang on to us that keep us from experiencing that freedom to its full. But as we continue to walk by faith, as we continue to rely upon the truth of God's Word, we're going to see ourselves go free just a little bit more each and every day. Yeah. So if you want to experience freedom, freedom from maybe emotional bondage, maybe you're feeling anxious, maybe you're angry all the time, maybe you're fearful, maybe you're a little down and out and blue and depressed, the truth of God's Word has something to say to you. Maybe you're in religious bondage. You know, there's doctrines and heretical teachings that you've submitted yourself to, and it's just killing you. Well, it's time to go free. Yeah. Truth will set you free. Maybe it's just the fact that you're lost and need life. You're sensing something's wrong inside of you. Well, you know, the ultimate freedom is the freedom from the power of sin and death, and that's what happens at conversion. So we're here to talk about a life of faith and freedom in Christ Jesus, and it all begins with this basic gospel. So let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377.
All the time remaining on the clock and plenty of open lines right now. As Bob said, 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial. This is Basic Gospel. And Bob, we'll kick off the broadcast with a question from Danny, who writes to us from Benicia, California. Says, I've been a believer for many years, have been in ministry with both teaching and evangelism. My background is mainly in evangelism. I came out of the faith movement back in the early 90s after noticing some doctrine that I found to be a bit off. In the past, I have seen the use of Luke 6:38 used in the context of tithes and offerings. I understand that text to be speaking about forgiveness. I see that you cannot deny anyone that of which they are in need of need most, and through this text that if you forgive, you will be forgiven. I'm currently sitting in a new church and have already heard the same message used again in the same context when the congregation is getting ready to give the tithe. Am I being too critical, or is this again a part of the faith-type teaching? Outside of a few hints of what I would consider to be prosperity teaching, the church is great and the rest of the sermons are very good.
Well, yeah, that's a very interesting question. You know, sometimes if we've been under religious bondage, we've been under heretical teaching or teaching that doesn't really line itself up with the Word of God, and we see what the Word of God actually has to say, and we start believing what the Word of God has to say, and we start experiencing freedom, we walk away from that old teaching and grab hold of the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When that happens, we develop supersensitive ears. And so anything that sounds just even remotely like what we once believed, we're very sensitive to that, and we can become very, very critical. I think you're exactly right as far as the context of Luke 6:38, that it's not about money. It's about judging and condemning and forgiving and those sort of things. And that's what we need to pour out. And that's what we need to give and to give generously. And when we extend forgiveness and mercy, we'll see that poured back out into our lives in multiple ways. And that's what this passage is all about. But so many folks want to use that, lift it out of its context, and use it as a giving passage. I don't think that's what this is all about at all. So I think as far as our Bible reading is concerned, we need to put everything back into context. That is the most important aspect of reading the Word of God, is context. Just like in real estate, it's location, location, location. In Bible reading, it's context, context, context. But realize, since you've come out of that, quote, faith movement, you're going to be hypersensitive to anything that sounds like that. And you may be highly critical of it. If I'm in your shoes and you generally like what you're hearing at this church, I think you go and sit down and talk with the pastor and say, I came out of a movement, and here's what we took this as, and it caused great confusion for me. And now when I hear you kind of putting it back in that context, it brings up that same confusion. Can we talk about this? Can we get to the bottom of what this passage really means in light of its context?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would do in your shoes.
Yeah. Danny, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. Plenty of open lines. The lines are wide open, as a matter of fact. 1-800-677-9377. We're here every day with Basic Gospel Live to address your questions by phone, so we'd need to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you right now. 1-800-677-9377. Bob from Kyle, who writes to us from McDonough, Georgia. After reading the story of Jesus casting out the demon after his disciples were unable to in the book of Mark, he says, I was interested in what Jesus meant in verse 9:29. After reading the same story in different translations, as I often do when studying the Scripture, I realized in some translations that the reference to fasting is left out, and it only refers to prayer. This has sparked my curiosity as to how or if fasting is relevant to the New Covenant believer. What is your take on that?
Well, interesting question, and he is right as far as the passage is concerned. In the NIV, it simply states, he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Other manuscripts, and it gives a note at the bottom saying some manuscripts include prayer and fasting. Now, I really appreciate the NIV on that regard. They are using kind of the latest manuscripts, which are dated earlier than what other translations would have used as manuscripts for their translations. And so they believe, which just seems to make sense, that those manuscripts that are closer dated to the original time that they were written would be more accurate, that the word fasting would have been something that was added later. So I think in the manuscripts that have prayer and fasting, that's something that was added maybe by scribes based on their kind of understanding. So I think in the original, it's just going to be this kind can come out only by prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting is something that, we look at and call a spiritual discipline. You know, there's prayer, there's Bible reading, there's meditation, there's fasting. We would look at those as spiritual disciplines, things that we're to engage in to make us stronger as people. I think when we look at it in those terms, we're kind of missing the point. Bible reading isn't a spiritual discipline. Bible reading is an opportunity to really connect to the love of God and find out exactly who Jesus is. I think it's one of the most fascinating things that we can do is read the Bible when we understand that every time we open up the Word, it's an opportunity to know Jesus better.
Yeah.
Prayer isn't a spiritual discipline. It's a privilege that we have as children of God to go boldly into the throne of grace and talk to God as if he were our daddies. And that's exactly what he is, to bring every need of the heart before him, to thank him, to praise him. That's a privilege. Fasting, again, we look at that as a spiritual discipline, and there's many out there that will say they've engaged in it, and it was beneficial. I had a time in my life when I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I said, this afternoon, I'm just going to spend time with the Lord. not going to be interested in my lunch or dinner. I just want to spend time with the Lord and try to get some clarity on what I'm supposed to do. Spend a whole afternoon in the Word of God. Look at that and say, well, I guess that was fasting. And I think if there's that particular reason, it can be of benefit. You know, some do it for health purposes, but it doesn't mean you're more loved by God or less loved by God. It doesn't move you up the ladder of spirituality or up the ladder of righteousness. So as far as fasting is concerned, it has no value as far as our standing before God is concerned. Folks want to say, hey, if you just fast, you'll be loved by God more. You'll be accepted by God more. Well, that's not basic gospel. Yeah. Basic gospel is we're saved by grace through faith. And when we're saved, all of us are made alive together with Christ. All of us are made holy in His sight. All of us are made perfect in His sight forever. You can't improve on that. So fasting has to be for another reason altogether. In the Old Testament, fasting was something that happened as a byproduct of reaching out to others in love. You were so concerned with the needs of others that you forgot about your own needs.
Right.
And I think when we get into that mindset, if fasting is the byproduct, it's a good fast.
Absolutely. And I heard someone say once, after a group fast, then you watch the stampede to McDonald's.
That's right. That's right.
1-800-677-9377. Join us. We want to hear from you.
Let's go to Concord, California, and talk with Tina, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Tina.
Hello. Thanks for letting me speak with you all today.
Well, you're welcome. Nice to have you on the broadcast. How can we help you?
I listen to it every day, and I appreciated the fasting one because that was another thing on my mind.
Well, good deal. Well, glad you were tuned in.
Thank you. My question is, I attend Messianic Fellowship on Fridays or Saturdays. I also attend Christian Church on Sundays. And the Messianic congregation is saying it's very important that the real Sabbath is still on Saturday and Friday evening, so we should be always keeping the Sabbath. However, I've heard recently from Billy Graham speaking that it's definitely on Sunday now. So it's confusing me, and I don't think it's a big deal to our Father in Heaven.
Well, Tina, as far as the Sabbath is concerned, it was always Friday evening to Saturday evening. Was the seventh day, and that hasn't changed. That didn't change from Saturday to Sunday. We have chosen to worship on Sunday in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised on a Sunday morning. And so in honor of that resurrection, the very truth that this gospel message rests upon, we decide to worship on that particular day, just so that we can proclaim that this Jesus Christ truly is alive. So that's not a change of the Sabbath. That's just saying that's when we're choosing to worship in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the whole point of the Sabbath isn't about a day. As the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, the law is a shadow, not the realities themselves. So that fourth commandment about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath day holy, was a shadow of a reality that we were going to experience through faith in Christ. The Old Testament command required people to rest from their works on that seventh day, to not work at all. Well, that was foreshadowing the fact that we can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ regarding our sins. He did it all. There's nothing more for us to do. So, Tina, He took away your sins once and for all. When you received Him, you received that forgiveness. And you can say, along with John in his first letter, my sins have been forgiven on account of His name. And you can rest in that fact. So when you sin today, you don't have to try to conjure up more works, more sacrifices, in order to get more forgiveness. Just rest in what you have in Jesus. That's called Sabbath. That's a Sabbath rest.
Thank you. And where would I find the proof that Jesus was resurrected on Sunday?
Well, John chapter 20 would say right at the beginning of that, early in the morning on the first day of the week.
Yeah, that does make sense. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you making that clear for me.
Well, you're welcome, Tina. Great question, and hopefully those answers satisfied and will be beneficial to you.
Yeah, so if I still want to celebrate the Sabbath, it's just out of my own choice. It's not because it's a commanded something that I have to do to keep the day holy anymore.
That is correct. Every day is a Sabbath day for you in Christ, because every day you're resting from your works just as Jesus Christ rested from his. He finished the work. You're saying, hey, that's sufficient for me. I'm going to rest in that by faith. And you do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for the wisdom.
You are welcome, Tina. Thanks for the call today. God bless.
Yes, God bless you all.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-800-677-9377. We still have time on the clock. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. And friends, the special resource we're making available to you this month is entitled Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide that can expose the phony stuff that many times turns people away. Gateway to Grace is rich in biblical content and can open the door so you and others around you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. And for any gift to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you this excellent series and study guide. To make your gift and request yours, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace, yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. So if you've been benefited by this ministry, if the gospel of Jesus Christ that you've heard through this radio program has touched your heart, why not help touch someone else's heart by contributing to Basic Gospel this month? We will say thank you in a very significant way, but help somebody else understand the love of God for them.
Absolutely, just like Tina.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Hartford, Connecticut, and talk with John, listening to us on WSDK. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Trying to stay cool in this hot weather up here in Connecticut. We're not used to it.
Well, y'all are having a heat wave, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, 100 degrees right now, and I'm on my way home. It's 5 o'clock.
Well, you should be down here. It would be just a few degrees cooler.
Anyways, this is a little embarrassing. I've been a Christian a long time, and my question is very basic, so I hope this is appropriate for the Basic Gospel program.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. When Christ was on the cross, the thief next to him believed in him, and Christ said, "Today you'll be in paradise." So in my mind, it was settled. As soon as a believer dies, they go right to heaven. Now, where I get confused is a little bit later in the Bible, when Paul's writing about what we call the rapture, the great hope, where the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are here will meet him and be caught up in the air. And what's got me a little bit confused, guys, is is it immediate that we go to paradise or heaven, or do we wait? And, you know, I've heard the term soul sleep until Christ's return.
Well, 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal." And so what it's basically saying there is when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. So when a person dies, we put their body in a grave. We put it in a casket. We have a funeral service, and then we bury the body. But when you look at the body, you know the person that once inhabited that body is no longer there. That person has gone elsewhere. And for those of us who are in Christ, we have gone to be with the Lord. Now, when Paul talks about the dead being raised in Christ, both in 1 Corinthians 15 and I think 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's talking about the body, the fact that we're going to get a brand new body. Just as Christ was raised bodily, so we too are going to get a new spiritual body. It's not going to be like our old body. It's going to be a spiritual body. We're going to get that at a point in time later, as the scripture kind of lays it out. So when it's talking about that, the dead rising in Christ, it's talking about these bodies being raised from the grave and putting on the imperishable, mortal becoming immortal, those sort of things.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That makes sense. Like I said, it was a little embarrassing. I should have known that, but I got confused reading some of it again, and I figured I'd give you guys a call because you always set me straight.
Well, glad you did, John, and I can understand the confusion. Sometimes it's hard to really kind of plow through all of that and make heads or tails out of any of it, but I think when you kind of lay things out as they are, recognize what Paul is talking about, the fact that it's a resurrected body, it all starts to make sense.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
Hey, John, just to give you an update, just outside our door right now, 78 degrees.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
We're going to rub it in because we don't get a chance to do that very often.
So. Not in July in Texas, no.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, John. Bye-bye. Let's go to Bolivia, North Carolina, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you today.
Good to hear. Thanks.
How can we help you?
I heard you talking earlier about the NIV.
Yes.
And I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Christian. And the thing that gets me with the NIV is, you know, the Bible, the King James Bible, was originally transcripted from the original Textus Receptus. And we've had that in circulation for over 400 years, which was, you know, what we went by. And now in this modern age, you have people with these NIVs and different translations, say, the past, what, 60, 70, 80 years now. But what's wrong? I mean, you got all this confusion because in the NIV, there's so many passages and scripture taken out of the book, and then, like it says in Revelation, in the very first thing it talks about, the very last thing it talks about is not to add or take away from, you know, the words.
Well, Chris, the King James Version is a fine version. It is a translation, and it was translated off a particular manuscript. A lot of the archaeological findings of late have brought forth older manuscripts, and some of the, quote, modern translations are simply translated off of those older manuscripts. And in that, you're seeing that, you know, in some places, the newer manuscripts, you know, have added some things to it. So as far as translations are concerned, I encourage people to get three or four or five of them and look at them side by side. And I think when you do, you get a full flavor of what the original Greek and Hebrew is all about. So, and then ultimately, we need to just really trust the Spirit of God to bring meaning and understanding to that to our minds. Well, Chris, thanks for your comment today. We certainly appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, we are out of time for this edition. Thanks to every one of you who support Basic Gospel to keep this program on the air. And for your generous gift this month, we say thank you by sending you our newest CD series, Gateway to Grace. This month, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, we're going to send it to you. Complete your gift and your request by visiting basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or by calling 1-800-727-2828 and speaking with our operator. Again, that's Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And you can find it at basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828. Also at Basic Gospel, we think social media is a very good thing, and we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take you on Monday. Bye-bye.